Unity of Farmington Hills, a powerful path for spiritual living.
Keep that energy going. It's now time for the Amanda Daniels joke of the day. All right. I think some of you guys are getting looking forward to this now. See what happens when you build a trend? All right. Here it is. This is a good one. I tried to be more loving in traffic after church. Almost lost my salvation merging onto the freeway. All right. And with that spirit, we're going to begin our opening song, Good God Almighty is full of energy and joy, a celebration of the goodness of God in every season. Let's lift us up together. Hey, you can grab a mic right there, right behind you. It's right on the music stand. No, the other one. Grab the other one. Right there you go. There you go. Way to go, Lois.
Hello. Good morning, Unity of Farmington Hills. And to our guests and online viewers, welcome to our service with uplifting music by our music team. Let's give them another hand. Thank you. And an inspiring message by our own Stevie Franz, in Reverend Kelly's absence for a well-deserved vacation. I'm sure she's probably watching us wherever she is. Hello, Reverend Kelly.
Hi, Howard.
And Howard. I'm Lois Jones, a platform assistant, and I will, share your announcements and upcoming events. If you are a first-time guest today, please take a welcome packet from the usher as you leave the sanctuary. We're so happy to have you with us and hope you will enjoy our service. Please join us in the social hall after service for fellowship and light refreshments, prepared and served by our hospitality team, and maybe some surprise treats by other members of the church. The women's group will present Sister Talk today at 11:45 in Room 2, facilitated by Faith Brown. Join us for a time of deep connection and sister talk. Ladies, you will be glad you came. All women are welcome. A love offering is accepted. Please join Reverend Kelly every Wednesday for Holy Wednesdays with Bible study on Zoom at 1 p.m. and meditation in person and on Zoom at 7 p.m. Join us next Sunday, April 19th, for a new Noisy Giving Sunday. Let's make some noise while giving extra. Bring your loose change along with your regular love offering. The youth will collect your change and make lots of noise, and the ushers will collect your regular offering. Reverend Kelly's next class, Teach Us to Pray, is April 21st through June 2nd on Tuesdays, from 6:30 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. Study how Charles and Cora Fillmore break down the practice of prayer, its components, and how to tap into a level of consciousness beyond affirming that will ultimately bring you into being in the Christ consciousness. The required text, Teach Us to Pray, by Charles and Cora Fillmore, is available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. To sign up for the class, please email seniorminister@utfh.com. Dr. Lynette Kelly will be teaching a U-Suite Reiki Therapy course for levels 1, 2, and 3 on Saturday, April 25th and Saturday, May 2nd from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Room 2. This is a personalized, flexible, online, and face-to-face learning experience to become a certified Lucy Reiki Master. To register, see Dr. Kelly or email reiki.therapy.rn@gmail.com. Seating is limited, so sign up early. Mark your calendars for our upcoming annual prayer breakfast on Saturday, May 23rd from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. More details will be shared soon. A prayer chaplain will be available to pray with you after service today near the patio doors. Please leave the sanctuary immediately following the service to provide a quiet space for prayer. Prayer requests may also be left in the prayer box in the lobby, or you may email prayerchaplains@unityfh.com. And now, as the music team sings Surely Presence, let us prepare for the daily word and open prayer. Thank you.
Angels' wings.
see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Today's daily word for Sunday, April the 12th, 2026, Inner Peace. The affirmation reads, secure in the presence of God, I am peaceful and I am strong. The words read, I find comfort in knowing that I am never alone because God is always with me. Whatever I am called to face, I have inner resources to handle it peacefully. Peace swells in the silence of my soul. Trouble, I turn within. I breathe deeply and think of a peaceful setting. A trickling stream, the wind gently rustling through the leaves, or the soft flicker of candlelight. I let that tranquility sink deep into my heart. And as I leave the quietness of prayer, I take that peace with me. I'm ready to face the day. As a peaceful person, I know that peace is my very nature. Harmony is my purpose. I seek serene people, serene places, and serene experiences. My soul feels at home everywhere, as the peace of my heart flows outward to bless everyone it touches. And the reading says, comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, may grace and peace be yours in abundance, in the knowledge of God, and of Jesus Christ.
Okay, the Daily Word was a perfect intro to this song and what it means and what it says. It's a song called Breathe by Jeremy Camp.
Shapes how we see ourselves, we
how we put it on, because we can see that belief, and it resides in our hearts. Something sacred happens in the middle of storytelling. Somehow, the presence of God becomes more than an idea. It becomes more than an idea. It becomes an experience. It goes from a nebulous thing to something that's very real. Every story we hear, a story we tell, has the potential to do that. It's not just information that we're after. When we're listening to a story, or we're telling a story, we're trying to make a connection. We're trying to get something deeper. I think what we're trying to get to is an understanding that we really just aren't alone. We never are, we never will be. And in that story of someone else, we see ourselves. And in our own stories, in each of our lives, we can see those things and we can feel those things. You know, Maya Angelou once said, people may not remember what you say to them, but they will remember how you feel. And I think it's stories that allow us to do that. I'm going to talk about two stories today that demonstrate an experience of connection with the divine. And I call this talk Touching the Divine, Exercising Our Powers of Faith. Based on my preamble, more than likely you think I'm going to talk about the parables of Jesus. No, I am not. Jesus always teaching. He taught with parables for sure. Those stories that really brought the kingdom of heaven alive for everybody he talked to. He talked in precepts. Precepts like, judge not, lest you be judged. But he taught two other ways as well. He taught by performing miracles, and he taught by his actions. We're going to start from a story from the Gospel. It's in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. You can find it in Mark, and you can find it in Luke as well. And in those other synoptic Gospels, it fills in some of the blanks, and I'll do that for you today. It's the story of the woman who's healed of bleeding. The story goes like this, starting with verse 20. Then suddenly, a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years, came up behind him and touched the brim of his cloak. For she said to herself, if I only touch this cloak, I will be made well. Jesus turned. Seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And instantly, the woman was made well. So what's going on in this story? So I'll give you a little context of what's going on from the other chapters outside of Matthew. So Jesus has been asked by Jairus, who is a member of the synagogue, to come to his house to heal his daughter, who is near death. Jesus is on a mission. The woman touches his cloak. He immediately stops. This is not an interruption. And I bless it, I believe. When you reach out for the divine, it's not an interruption for God. It's always there. It's not, you're not interrupting what's going on. I mean, Jesus is on a full mission. He's going to try to save the life, or he's going to save the life of a little girl. But this woman, who is desperate after 12 years, has enough faith to reach out and touch him. That's a lesson in the divine to me. And it happens. That works in God. In the blink of an eye, you just get it, right? So it's powerful to me, this story of faith. But then I say, well, how is this happening in the world today? Why is this story important for us to read today? And I think it really isn't hard to figure out that there's an awful lot of people like this living out in the world today that are suffering from physical ailments, mental ailments, spiritual ailments, and the cure is just not available to them. They just can't put their hands on it. It's just elusive. More importantly, how does this our story? How is this your story? How does it relate to you? You can probably think of a moment in your own life where you were quietly hoping for something, but you were hesitant. You did not reach out. You did not believe, or you could not feel, that God would be there with his healing touch. A moment when you could have used the faith of this woman. Well, I know I've had those moments, and if you had too, then maybe today is the day. Maybe today is the day to just reach out. going to take a little, and you're going to have to bear with me on this one, because this one came last night. So we're going to take a metaphysical lens to this story very quickly. And it's going to be a Steve story. So bear with me. All right? It's going to be a Steve story.
But I hope you can relate as I go through it. So I spent the night with an angel last night. I'm not talking about my wife, all right? Although she's an angel, I'm not saying that. That's not the major plot line of the story, but it's true. Anyways, I went to, and there's a story in the Bible of Jacob wrestling with the angel. Well, that's what I did last night. So what's an angel metaphysically? It's a divine idea, right? It's something that comes to you out of nowhere. My divine idea that I had that I couldn't let go of last night is that this story has a metaphysical meaning somehow, somewhere within it. So I said, how does that relate to Steve's consciousness? And I said, well, I'm on a conscious journey to become less judgmental, less critical of others. Judge not, lest you not be judged. And I'm on that mission, and I'm moving along, and I'm failing. It's like the woman with the hemorrhaging, time after time after time after time. Steve, you're judging. Steve, don't be so critical. Come on, Steve, give everybody a break. And I said, wow, I'm never going to get there. I'm just not going to get there. I don't have it in me. And metaphysically, I think that might be a little bit true. But I do know this, that all of a sudden something happens. And what happened to me was a divine idea. And I don't even remember where it came from, but it got me out of the funk. And the divine idea was simple. It was, by the time you're 7 years old, you have already developed your cognitive abilities and learned most of the way you're going to decide how you do things in your life. So I said to myself, well, I really am not necessarily responsible for everything that happened. So how do you deal with that? Well, we're going to talk a little bit later about Myrtle Fillmore, but I came up with a simple affirmation that said, I am a child of God. I was not given the innate ability to judge other people. And I have to say that over and over and over again. However, the first time I said it, the first time that it went in here, I knew it was true. I knew it was true. I knew that this was not my inherent nature as a child of God. It was simply the nurturing I had by my parents, by my teachers, by the world around me. So I could do something about it. That was touching the hem, and it happened like that. I'm still on the mission. Jesus still continued the mission to Jairus' house to heal her, actually to resurrect her because she did die. So I'm still on that conscious journey as well. But I did have that metaphysical insight last night that I thought was probably important to share because I wrestled with that angel for a long time. So the next story is pretty familiar to just about everybody, I would guess. If not, I'm going to tell the story anyway, so don't worry. It's about Apostle Thomas, Doubting Thomas. You probably have heard that phrase once or twice. In fact, it's maybe even been used on you. My dad loved that phrase, and I can remember standing by the side of a swimming pool and my dad saying, you know how to swim. Get in the pool. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Shove, in you go. Now, the only thing I was reaching for at that point in time was the side of the pool. But it is true. It's a phrase we've learned that basically comes with doubt, that says it's not overcomable. Today is the Sunday after Easter. You may or may not know this, but there's a name for this Sunday. It's called Thomas Sunday. Because on this Sunday, a lot of churches study this story of the Apostle Thomas and his encounter with the resurrected Jesus. I think what it's trying to tell us is that sometimes your doubt can be your gateway to faith. And hopefully I can lead us there in this discussion. The story goes like this, starting on verse 24. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them this time. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord, my God." It happened to Thomas right then and there. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Great story. All right, let's break it down just a little bit. What's happening here? Well, all of his buddies that he has spent the last 3+ years with have all seen the resurrected Christ. So how do you think Thomas feels? Well, he doubts that it's happened, number one, because that's just his nature. His nature is to, if I don't see it, I don't believe it. So he doubts it. That's okay. I don't think God holds that against us, right? Seekers who want to know and truly know can question. The answers will show up. But my first key point today is that there is a distinct and profound difference between knowing something and experiencing something. The woman had faith, but she still needed to touch, to experience. Thomas was certainly aware that Christ had risen, but he needed to see it, and he needed to touch it himself. So I was reminded that, you know, studies show that when we learn, so if we just hear something, we're going to remember about 10%. That's not so good. If we see the words and we read it, we might get 30%. However, if we experience it directly by doing or feeling, we can get up to 90% of the message that's there. I think that's a great way to remember this. We don't remember things that we're told. We remember things that we feel. Just like Maya Angelou said, people may not remember what you say, but they will remember how they make you feel. There's a couple other interesting things when we talk about these two main characters. They were both courageous. They had the courage to reach out, to do something, to act, even though they were afraid or they just didn't know. They were in doubt. Both had the willingness and the desire to encounter the divine personally and what that meant to them. Finally, both of them were transformed by touch. The most intimate of encounters, the most intimate of experiences, whether it's a literal touch as they experience or whether it's a spiritual touch, it is that connection that is most important. So therein lies my first key point. Knowing and understanding the laws of life are simply not enough. We must live and experience the truth we know. Sounds a lot like principle number 5. That's because it is. I think that's the first lesson. But as I continued to study these, I was sitting at my desk, and I saw this, my white stone. My word this year is alignment. Interesting. But what I wrote on the back, my mind and my heart align as one. Okay. Now, you may not know everything about me, but that's almost a bridge too far for someone like me. They say that the hardest journey that you'll ever take is the 18 inches from your head to your heart. Well, for me, that 18 inches can turn into 1,000,000 miles sometimes. You know, I spend a lot of time up here cogitating, thinking, solving, whatever you want to call it. Navel gazing, some people call it, right? Okay, I don't know if that's what it is or not, but that's true. So these words for me are simple, but they're hopeful. They're a promise that, just like the lady in the story, and just like my metaphysical thing, it is inherent in my nature as a child of God. And that is who I am. Let's see. What else do I want to talk about? Well, I'm familiar with that kind of person. I'll believe it when I see it, because I'm like that, right? Well, there's another mysterious type of person that lives out there in this world that we run around in, and you probably met some of these people too. They say exactly the opposite. I will see it once I believe it. Not I'll believe it when I see it, but I'll see it when I believe it. These are amazing people. These are people of pure faith. I find them mysterious. I live with one. My wife is a true woman of faith. My woman has the gut feel and the intuition that anybody would pray to have. So these kind of people, they're great. They bust through obstacles. They don't let anything stand in their way. They know if they touch the cloak, if they reach out, they're going to get exactly what they want. And they don't even consider any other option. I wish sometimes I could be like that person. And I think a lot of amen, yeah. Amen, amen. Double for me, it's hard, okay? But I think there's a silver lining. I think these ideas of faith and understanding show up in the world in a lot of different ways. We can go back and look at another couple who exemplify faith and understanding. The Fillmores? Okay. I know that's what you were thinking, but I was giving you time to get to where we were going. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, the co-founders of Unity, right? Myrtle was the heart, Charles was the mind. And Charles said this about spiritual understanding, and I love it. Spiritual understanding is developed in a multitude of ways. Okay? No two persons have exactly the same experience. Yes, one may be a Saul to whom the light comes in a blinding flash. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. While others, the light may come gently and harmoniously. Myrtle lived faith, complete faith. She had her affirmation, sort of like my metaphysical affirmation, only hers was, I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness. And by using that affirmation, she healed herself. So my second point, which power, faith or understanding, Charles or Myrtle, which one is most important? Should I understand first and then let that understanding bring me to faith? Or should I just have faith first and let that understanding develop? Which power is most important? Well, I contemplated that for a long time. Go figure. I thought about it for a long time. And I argued the pros and the cons and had a lot of discussions with my wife. And came to the stunning conclusion that it just doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Because the bottom line is, it's kind of like arguing. If you were to argue, do I need kidneys and a lung? And should I get a lung before I get a kidneys? No, you need them both. And you have them both. If you're healthy, you have them both. As a child of God, you have both faith and understanding. They're two of your 12 powers. They're always there. And believe it or not, and sometimes I have to remind myself of this fact, they're always working. They're always working. So my second key point, doubt and faith are not opposites. They're just two ways of getting to the same point, which is the connection with the divine. So how does these stories show up other ways in the world? I think it shows up and feeling left behind. If you think, or being left out, if you think about the woman, 12 years, hemorrhaging. At that time in history, that would have been considered unclean. Every day this woman woke up, and she dealt with that. Ostracized probably even by the people she loved. No doctor could help her, and she was stuck. Now, if we turn ourselves inward, I think we all feel that at some point in time in our lives. Whether it's a physical ailment, or whether it's an emotional ailment, or whether it is a spiritual ailment, we feel sad and alone. Perhaps we've been there for a long time. Perhaps it's been many years. But perhaps today is the day that we reach out and touch the cloak and work to heal that. Ask God for help and let God help. Work with God and work his plan. And Thomas, all right, Thomas had to have felt left out. He was literally the last guy to know, the last guy to see the risen Jesus. He had to feel left out. There's no doubt in my mind. So I can see why he copped an attitude. I can see why he said, I'll believe it when I see it. I would kind of be the same way. But in both stories, the answer is the same. The answer is simple. Reach out. Reach out and touch the garment. Reach out and touch the scars of your soul. So what other lesson can we learn besides the fact that both of them reached out and touched to experience? They remind us that true faith, not always certainty. It's not always knowing what the answer is before you do reach out. Realizing that the great thing about all this is God is okay with our questions. God is okay with our longing. God is okay with our deep desire to touch him and to be with him and to realize that we need that connection. So it doesn't matter if we show up with rock solid faith. That would really be nice, but it really doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter if we know complete understanding before we go to God. That really doesn't matter. Just reach out. It's as simple as that. So we come to my third and my final point. And that's, for me, the beauty of Thomas Sunday. And that is, faith really begins with just a step, with just reaching out. Our desire to heal is what leads us to reach out and experience the divine. And we all have that desire to heal. And we all have that need to heal. And it just goes on. That's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. So the three points that I like coming from this Thomas Sunday, for me, there's a profound difference between knowing and experiencing. We can know things, but if we don't experience for ourselves, well, it's not enough. Knowing that truth is simply not enough. We got to live the truth we know. Principle 5. Doubt and faith are not opposites. Faith and understanding are just two ways to getting to the divine. Use anyone you want, any way you want. And finally, it is our inherent desire to heal that leads us to divine, leads us to the divine. Be it physical healing, emotional healing, or spiritual healing. So let's have an experience. If you want, you can close your eyes, but it's not necessary. But just bring to mind something in your life, some place where you feel doubt, hesitation, or uncertainty. Just bring it to mind. And just sit with it for a second. And then imagine with me that small, still voice speaking directly to us. Reach out, touch, and see. Your faith has made you well. Reach out, touch, and see. Do not doubt, but believe. Blessed are those who have seen and have not seen and yet have come to believe. Reach out, touch, and see. I am always with you. Amen. I invite the music team to come up now as I put a little bow around this. And I just want to remind us that we are always eternally invited to take that first step of personal encounter with the divine. God meets us in our understanding. He meets us in our faith. All that's required from us is to reach out and let God do the rest. So resolve with ourselves today as we go out into the world that we will face the world with courage, with curiosity, and with joy. Reach out and reach within. Touch your faith. Reach out and reach within. Build your understanding. Reach out and reach within and experience the divine.
Thank you, Steve.
Do you want me to do the offering?
Oh, that's right.
Do you do the offering? Sure.
Sorry.
Oh, that's right.
Well, let's just do the divine question. I'll look for the
cue. That's perfect. Thank you for the cue.
Ready? All together we can say, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you, God.
Amen.
And if the ushers could pass that. Oh, I love that saying, though. I wish I could find it.
Unceasing.
You have your little... All right, let me look.
These gifts of love coming from hearts of love.
Yes.
From us, this ministry of love.
Up there,
oh,
too.
Yay. Okay, ready? I love this That's part. All right. Can we get the money? We'll handle it.
Go for it.
God, I will leave this world as it is, go inside to find my God. I will leave this world as it is, go inside to find my God. I will leave this world as it is, go inside to find my God. Inside there is peace, inside there is joy, inside there is more than enough. Inside there is peace, inside there is joy, inside there is sacred love. I will
together.
Oh, yay.
light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
Thank you for listening to this Unity of Farmington Hills podcast. We hope this has encouraged you, inspired you, and uplifted you. If you are unable to attend our Sunday gatherings but would still like to support our spiritual community, visit our giving page, unityfh.com/donate.